Hi, my name is Esteban Gutierrez. You're listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
There you want to. Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. With the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 397, December 10th, 2009. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by the Northern California Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out, you know you want to.
Thank you, Steven, and of course we thank Marin Karting. On today's program, Silverstone is back for 17 years. Michael, please stop this nonsense. And Renault F1, possibly on the auction block. And of course, Motorsports Mondial with the guru and the man himself, Sir Nasser Hamid. And of course, I want to thank Garrett Van Asch, I hope I pronounced that correctly, for his donation of the week. Thank you, Garrett. I believe he's from New Zealand. Please email me your address, and you will get those free F1 Weekly stickers as a thank you. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful. How about yourself, Mr. Rudd?
I'm sad about these talks about Renault being sold, but then there's some talk about keeping Renault F1 in. It'll be new ownership, but still.
Yeah, a couple of different scenarios where one's an outright sale, another one where
it's a takeover, perhaps.
Takeover, we'll retain the name for 2 years. Sounds like they'll still remain in the sport as an engine supplier either way.
Well, this team, so, you know, has been tossed around. Tolman, Benetton. That's the way it is, Steven.
And Carlos doesn't sound like he's all that excited about having an F1 team because he thinks it's irrelevant.
Yeah, but Carlos Ghosn doesn't know nothing about nothing as far as I'm concerned.
You know, if Bernie ran out and signed up a French Grand Prix, Carlos would probably be in.
Not much I can say about that, but I certainly hope it comes out. But yes, Gerard Lopez has confirmed for the first time that he is interested in purchasing the Renault Formula One team. And he believes that the Formula One environment at this stage is an opportunistic one. And I tend to agree.
It's a good time to get in, you know?
Yep.
Especially if you can get a team with the infrastructure like a Renault for, you know, a song, so to speak. I'm sure Renault's not going to sell it for a dollar as a la Honda.
No, because Honda just wanted to run away.
Well, they wanted to sell it so they wouldn't have to worry about paying Bernie any money for bailing.
And not only that, but Renault's still going to be involved as a engine supplier because they still, I think, have a contract with Red Bull, even though Red Bull has come out and said that they have not signed a deal because of this limbo thing. But I think this will be rectified by the end of the month, hopefully by the time we celebrate Midnight Mass.
Well, hopefully something will shake up before the Christmas break. I'd hate to see this carry over into next year, just because for all parties involved, I think a sooner resolution is better so that everything can start rolling forward. Part of the reason it's believed that Mercedes has not announced or signed a second driver is because, you know, they're...
You mean Michael Schumacher?
They're waiting to poach Robert Kubica if he's let out of his contract.
Yeah, but, I mean, the talk about Michael Schumacher
It, I wish Michael would step up and just go, wish, I'm not going to do this.
It, just like Tiger Woods, just put out a press conference, it's yay or nay.
Yeah. But, you know, Willie doesn't want him to do that because, you know, if his name's in the news, then, you know, he can make deals.
Exactly. But still, this Michael Schumacher thing is intriguing and as exciting. If he did come back, it would be for the sport. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know,
be a little bit like Raikkonen going to WRC.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's exciting for WRC. I mean, that was a big hoop-dee-dee. I'm glad. I can't wait to see his first few crashes. That's going to be exciting.
Yeah. It would be nice to see Michael back on the grid. You know, he is a fabulous racer. He is a personality within the sport. But my biggest concern with him is that he walked away pretty much on top of the sport. To come back, you know, I think by coming back, he takes a risk of diluting his grandeur.
Yeah, but still, you know, you don't have that many things to do when you get a little bit older. And is grandeur that big of a deal?
Well, frankly, if he's doing anything, he should be running one of these new damn teams.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to do that. Administrative duties, yelling at people, is not his bag. And to be honest with you, the rumor has it that he's been working like a dog. I mean, physically working out. That's what his papa says. Like crazy. So the rumors have some validity, but we'll see. I'm hoping he comes back to make 2010 the most exciting season in the world. That way, Fernando Alonso, once again,
can beat him.
can beat Michael Schumacher. Now, of course, we had the Motorsports Business Forum in Monaco. I believe it was Wednesday. And Mr. Lopez had some interesting things to say about Formula One and the direction it needs to take, and Bernie trying to fence in all his television rights and stop the internet from watching Formula One races, where in fact this man thinks, you know, we should be going towards the internet, we should be modernizing, and I thought that was a great message to Bernie.
If Bernie were smart, Bernie would set it up like what A1GP was doing, depending on the market. You set it up as a pay-per-view.
Ultimately,
so that you can get revenue from streaming it on
easy,
the internet.
Easier than that, Steve. You set it up so it's free with advertising all over the place.
That works, too.
Yeah, exactly. That way you get the masses. And that's what you want.
But you probably get more revenue.
Because every time you try to paper something, pay-per-view, there's always going to be somebody hacking in and getting this stream.
It's not even so much the hacking. It's the way people are watching it now in markets that don't get the races live or don't get certain coverage. You know, you're a prime example of an individual who gets the BBC off the internet. If Bernie puts a live feed out there, like you say, with advertising, you know, you basically frame the race with rolling ads. Whatever the eyeballs,
that's all Bernie wants is money, in the end.
Well, I don't know about that now, Clark.
signing
Silverstone for 17 years,
and he said he could have made more money elsewhere, but he sacrificed for his people.
Yeah, my next question is how far into this contract does he go before he goes, oh, wait a minute, I've got this clause down here in the bottom corner that says that after 5 years, if you haven't modernized your paddock, I can pull the race.
He probably does, but I was really glad to hear that the statement about Formula One in really saying that they should do more to prepare for the modern media and really focusing on other things rather than the traditional television rights, blah, 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 blah. You know, I mean, I don't watch it on television. You know, but I have to pull the sneaky.
Yeah, and it makes, to me, streaming into the internet makes perfect sense because you're talking about a sport that is truly, truly global. And the only way you can really show it globally is if it's on the internet.
I mean,
the only problem I think he runs into that is that, okay, he sold these rights to show the show, so to speak, in these markets, like, say, the United States or Brazil or Australia, to a carrier within that country. Well, what does that do for them if now the viewers in their country can now go to the internet and watch it instead? And that's where I think Bernie runs into problems with.
But the music industry has solved a lot of those problems, Steve. When before the music industry was fighting it, they've turned around and now it's working terrifically.
Yeah, and it comes down to basically you just have to deal with the people that are buying it from you. I think he's, what Bernie's probably afraid of is that he's going to lose the big ticket that he's getting from the television markets around the world if he dilutes it by running it on the internet.
But that market will dwindle because fewer and fewer people will be watching television as we know it today. I'm saying television as a whole is going to change.
Yeah.
In the future, when you watch TV, it's going to be more than just a television.
Well, not like that, but more and more television is getting to the point where a lot of people are taking shows that appear on television and watching them on the internet when they want to watch
exactly.
them instead of having to be there at a specific time.
Even though, of course, you know, most of us prefer our Grand Prix live. That's just my thought. Going back to Michael Schumacher, there was some pretty funny stuff. Nico Rosberg, the 24-year-old, obviously everybody's getting interviewed, especially...
Is he going to be the next QB?
Well, the German press is all over this. I don't know. Maybe Michael may be the QB Meister. But he said, quote, "It would be a very interesting challenge and a super lineup." Rosberg has already been named as Mercedes' first driver, of course, for 2010, but he hinted that it would be a sensation to go to the grid with El German Machismo. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, you know, Norbert Hogg has already said, I have time, and apparently it's going to happen after Christmas.
And it comes down to, I think, a lot for them maybe to hinge on whether or not Robert Kubica is available.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I was watching the HD theater channel here on America. They're rerunning the 2009 season for the WRC. And they had all sorts of Formula One people visiting. And there was Sebastian Vettel. And they interviewed Kimi Raikkonen when he had the Punto in the A-Barth after his wreck. And I hadn't seen Kimi Raikkonen speak so long. In paragraphs, not just
two lines.
Yeah. So I think he's going to be much happier in the WRC. He's enthusiastic. He's excited.
I think it's more of a type of driving that he enjoys. It's a little more free form. I think the one thing that Formula One kind of graded on him was is that, you know, hey, I've been on this track before.
Well,
and it's, you know, it's 79 times I'm going to take the same turns. It's not as much fun.
Right. So anyway, he'll be getting into the Citroen C4 in January. First rally is in Sweden. We're all excited for Kimi. I'm pretty pumped up, and I think the whole WRC community is excited with the Kimster. Let's move on to Fernando, because that's my job, Stephen. Like we said last week, Fernando's visited Maranello a few times. Now he knows everybody. He's meshing with the engineers.
And they're already comparing him to Michael.
I saw that. They're hoping that he's the Michael that Kimi was supposed to be. See, that's the problem. Kimi,
well, two completely different personalities. Kimi Raikkonen kind of was more or less railroaded into the sport of Formula One. Fernando Alonso, you know, from the first day he got his first go-kart, was looking to get into Formula One and race. Much more of a professional racer, I think, than
I think so
Kimi
too.
Raikkonen.
I agree.
A professional Formula One driver. Kimi's a professional racer, but not as geared towards Formula One as most.
Well, I think it's a mistake for Ferrari to constantly look for somebody to replace Michael Schumacher.
Because he's unreplaceable. I don't think there'll be another individual in the sport.
I think they should turn the page.
Yep.
No, seriously, because I mean, it's been since 2006. We're going into the 2010 season. To have statements like that, I don't think it's inspiring to Fernando.
Yeah. Well, I think you're probably going to still hear that from them until the majority of the individuals that are working at Ferrari weren't there when Michael was there.
Okay. But it's going to be exciting because, of course, there's no refueling next year. And I thought it was interesting what Fernando said. And I quote, "I don't think it will bring any changes in the race." That is the no refueling. "The only difference the fuel ban will bring is that the car will be heavier at the start of the race. The most important thing for a Formula One driver is to be easy on the tires for the first 10 to 15 laps. Because really, that's the key, is getting that car to the first pit stop with the best possible times. And that's taking care of your tires." Yeah. And I think it's going to be a very interesting season. And this is going to, I think it's going to mix it up a little bit.
I'm hoping that it'll make it a little bit more competitive in that, you know, basically we know that you have less of the, you know, rabbit run type of setup where, you try to get way up on pole and try to get away from the pack by being light and getting to that first
exactly.
pit stop. And you can't do that anymore.
Nope.
Now you've got to qualify first and then hold off your competition.
So And all of us criticizing Jenson Button, you know, going, you know, the cage rattling, even Ross Braun came out and said Jenson Button is courageous going to McLaren and going up against Lewis Hamilton. But on the other hand, everything, like you said, is going to be different. No light cars on the front grid. Everybody's going to be heavy. And maybe Jenson Button's smooth driving
will benefit him in that
exactly.
he can do a better job of saving the tires. You know, I also give Jensen credit, you know, as Ross says, he's courageous. You know, and frankly, it comes down to maybe it looks like Jens really just wants to be on the same team with the best driver he can be on the same team with to see if who's the better world champion.
I mean, everybody
driving
doesn't...
equal equipment.
You mean everybody doesn't want to go to Ferrari?
Jens probably would have gone to Ferrari, but that slot was already taken.
Well, I'm happy for Jensen. I think it's going to be an exciting championship, and I think this refueling ban is going to mix it up a little bit, and it's going to take a few races for the drivers to adjust. It's going to take a little time. The first few races...
But one of the interesting things I think we're going to see in some of the early races is how many cars make it around the first lap, because when all the cars are pigs...
Well, David Coulthard's not coming back, Steve.
I know, but still, we're going to have a lot of young and inexperienced drivers.
Uday Ide's not coming back, but maybe...
Who knows if not one of these new young guys who's, you know, money back isn't another, the next Uday Ide.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens, but it's going to be exciting. I cannot wait for the 20-cent season, and it's not even Christmas yet, so I'm in big, big trouble.
You haven't been ready to wait since the day after the season ended.
That's true.
So nothing new there.
That's true. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Motorsports Mondial. We'll probably talk about the 2010 calendar, which is outstanding.
Glorious pictures.
Exactly, Steven. So we'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Motorsports Man of the Hour, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards. It's a cold and chilly world these days.
Very cold.
Are you getting used to it?
No, I'm still in denial.
You're still in denial?
Yep. Okay. I'm in front of the fireplace.
So your professional life is like your personal life now.
Correct, absolutely.
Welcome to the club, sir. Okay, in the news, Carlos Ghosn goes shopping. You know what that means. Kimi Raikkonen goes rallying. Jonathan Summerton goes Formula 2 testing, and I'm very excited about this. We definitely need a few young, good American drivers in on the European theater before they jump into Formula 1 and head back after 6 months of racing. You know what I mean.
Maybe we could make a F2 weekly sticker.
Very true. Very true.
Always thinking, Nasser.
Oh, absolutely. And best news, of course, British Grand Prix will stay where it all started. Can't believe Bernie was so generous to give them a 17-year deal.
17 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of blew my mind. I'm like, going, Bernie, 17 years?
Why 17?
He's got to have an out clause in there somewhere.
I mean, yeah, but usually you go 15, 20, 17? Is that like Whitworth threads or something?
Maybe he figures, or maybe he already knows that's how long he's going to last.
Perhaps.
Yes. And we shall start with the news about Renault, winner of the first ever Grand Prix in 1906. And the host is laughing and smiling, but hang on to it, sir. And the company which turbocharged Formula One in 1977, they are now looking more and more likely to follow Honda, BMW, and late Toyota in bid farewell to Formula One. It's just a matter of a few more weeks, Clark.
It's not going to happen, Nasser.
It's just a matter of a few more weeks.
You want to bet?
Bernie's saying he would like this thing wrapped up, not as a present, but before December 25th.
I bet you a calendar.
Okay. Hooters calendar?
Yep.
Okay. David Richards of ProDrive and Gerard Lopez of Mangrove Investments share the front row for the deal. But, according to Bernard Ecclestone, two more parties are interested in the Enstone-based operation of the French manufacturer. And I'm told that there was this motorsport forum meeting, seminar, where Mr. Lopez has said, yes, he is interested in buying the program. But I think David Richards, he is a racing man. He is, I like him. I've met him a couple of times, did an interview with him once. Very cool guy. And he's a serious contender. He should do this thing. As you know, David Richards and ProDrive are no strangers to racing or racing fans, having run Subaru's very successful rallying program, the beautiful 555 blue and yellow Subaru, and Aston Martin at Le Mans. Gerard Lopez, apart from running Mangrove Investments, is also involved in Gravity Sports Management, a Luxembourg-based driver management company. Their clients include Adrian Tombay, son of Patrick Tombay, Marco Wittmann, and Dutch-born Chinese driver Ho-Pin Tung, who is hoping to make his F1 debut if Lopez can land the Renault deal. Everybody wants to go to Formula One. You know,
everybody wants to.
Yeah, and you know, I want to be a Formula One driver too. But the question is, if you want to be in Formula One, can you win 3 races in GP2, please? In one season, not in 5. Most of these drivers have not even won a GP2 driver who have Formula One aspirations. But we wish everybody all the best. Some hardly win anything and still become very popular. But that's another story. Okay, Ho-Pin Tung is one of several young drivers who tested last week in the Formula One Young Driver Testing Program at Jerez de la Frontera in España, which also saw two Americans sample F1 machinery, Alexander Rossi and J.R. Hildebrand, and very pleased to say both of them are from our backyard, Northern California. And I sent an email to Mr. Hildebrand saying that, hey, you know, once upon a time, we interviewed you when you were in Formula 4. So hopefully, you know, it's holiday seasons here. But I'll hook up with him soon, and we'll try to do an interview. There's a lot of chatter on the forum about J.R. Hildebrand. And I think Alexander Rossi, looking at his Facebook entries, looks like he's still in Italy. But he should be coming home soon. So we'll try to catch up with these two fine young racing talents from the U.S. And Jonathan Summerton was very kind enough to send me an email saying that he was going to Portugal. He's actually, I should be in Portugal by now. He's testing at Portimão, the Algarve circuit, Formula 2 machinery, Friday and Saturday. So hopefully that will go well. But, you know, it really, no matter how good it goes, it's all about money. So I'm very, very much hopeful that Summerton and or Rossi will be in Formula 2 or at least Formula 3. And also I would like to hear from our friend Mr. John Michael Edwards. He won the Atlantic Championship and got a $1 million prize, which probably his share is at least half of it, which should be for a British Formula 3 with a good team. So I would like to see two or three good American talents in junior feeder series. You know, I hate to see these people jump into GP2 just because, you know, they think they can win. So we'll keep an eye on all of them. You have any words of wisdom for these young?
No commentary.
What you call whippersnapper?
The whippersnappers. No, you're absolutely right. Don't jump into a series that you're not prepared for.
And somebody who shall remain. I was talking to this gentleman. Had a very interesting comment. There's hardly any news on USF one. Jose Maria Lopez came, and I think he's $2 million short. And he, this is his comment. He says, you know, USF one. We were talking about then how could they go with this name without realizing that they may not have a problem with the F1 Supremo.
Well, USF one has been out of the news in the past week. Nothing. Don't know nothing about nothing. Even though Lotus has been in the news. Everybody's been in the news, but nothing about USF1, no car pictures, no crash testing. I don't know what they're doing over there.
Where?
In Charlotte.
Yep. You think we should send Jason as our Pinkerton Motorsport detective?
Certainly, and I certainly hope you sent USF1 headquarters a calendar. Complimentary, of course.
Signed by you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah.
Okay, from Renault to Raikkonen. Kimi Raikkonen, winner of 18 Grand Prix races and 2007 World Championship, will be in Red Bull Citroën Junior Team in rallying next season. The one-year deal will allow the ice cream man to return to F1 in 2011 if it is again flavor of the week for him. Of course, you know, he's under the Red Bull umbrella. But a little Finnish Tweety Bird tells me that Kimi and Monty are jointly working on a book called How Not to Win Friends and Piss Off Your F1 Career. And I've heard also from, this is from a Colombian Tweety Bird, that drivers are lining up to write the foreword. And I can take a few names here, but you can guess who they would be. How not to win friends and piss off your F1 career. A dramatic reading by Kimi Raikkonen and Juan Pablo Montoya. Kimi Raikkonen probably will have a few lines to say.
A few lines, because in rallying he speaks more.
Yeah, I noticed that. And I mentioned about Summerton and Massa. I don't know if you covered this. Massa wins the Granja Viana 500, which has become a very sort of a traditional institution end of the season karting race. Felipe Massa, Lucas Di Grassi, and Julio Campos won the famous kart race near Sao Paulo last Saturday. The race took over 11 hours to finish. It's a kart race. And Massa and Campos also won this event in 1997. And our friend Ricardo Zonta was second, and the two-legged Rubinho, tercero, third.
It wasn't Tony Kanaan involved in this?
I think he was.
I think he was, yeah. Because if Rubinho's there, Tony's there. Those guys are inseparable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they could get, if you see both of them, it's like seeing the four-legged Rubinho.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of these cases, you know, the guys... guys race as 5-6 year old in the same neighborhood.
Oh, I know, absolutely, absolutely, and they're close knit group, good friends. Yeah. No, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's like Mika Salo and Mika Hakkinen
exactly,
grew up on the same street, basically.
But let's not forget Massa had a baby boy.
Yeah, what's his name?
I think they called him Bob.
Felipe.
Really?
No, Fox News calls him Bob.
It's Felipe Jr.?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it might have been Roberto.
So our congratulations to him. Anyway, moving on. Australian V8 season finale at Homebush. Garth Tender won race one. But the big winner was Jamie Wincup as he wrapped up his second consecutive championship by finishing fifth. And the final race of the season was won by James Courtney. I remember this name, James Courtney. I have a friend, you know, he is from Australia, lives in Sydney, and he's involved in motorsports there. And actually, he's the gentleman with whom I went to the Indy 500, I think when Montoya won, which was, I think, 2000. And I had to leave because it was rain delayed. I had to catch a flight. So after he left, he sent me an email that we had this young kid in karting who's doing extremely well, and the name is James Courtney. Keep an eye on him. And here he is. Alex Yung back in Formula One, talking about Lotus Racing Team. Alex Young will be working for the Malaysian-owned Lotus team and will be head of the young driver development in Asia, which I would mean mostly Malaysian drivers. Nothing wrong with that. Alex Young's mother is British, so no surprise he speaks very good English. Another Malaysian driver, Feroz Fauzi, is expected to be confirmed as Lotus team test driver. And Feroz Fauzi was racing in the World Series by Renault this year. He's doing a pretty decent job, but, you know, to get to Formula One, I mean, decent job and a good job is not going to cut it, unfortunately. And so we'll see how it goes, and we wish everybody all the best, as always. And your favorite driver, Sam Bird, has landed a seat at ART. Promising British driver will be teammate to recently signed Ferrari young driver Jules Bianchi for the 2010 GP2 series. It should be pretty interesting. You know, this talking of young driver, this Daniel Ricciardo from Australia. I believe he's from Perth, Australia, Western Australia, that is. And he finished very close second to Valtteri Bottas last year, 2008, in Formula Renault Europe Cup, which was maybe one of few points behind. And this year he dominated the British F3 and was very good in the F1, so he could be the next Mark Webber type find of the year for Australian motorsports. What say you?
No,
you've been following those times.
Yes, no, he's been doing quite well, actually.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Okay, now we come to the Autosport Awards, which took place last weekend in London. Autosport is a long-established, and you know, this is not a paid commercial, they're not sending me free copies, but anybody who has not seen this magazine, it's a weekly British magazine. I will highly, highly recommend this. It covers all forms of motorsports.
I agree.
And it's very nice.
It's a great magazine, great website, very informative. They have a good group of people working there, great writers.
Yeah, that's the first website I go to every morning.
Me too.
Yeah, and a lot of these people, you know, like Joe Saber, Mike Tootson, well-known journalist Jeremy Shaw, they all basically wrote for
Noble, Beers, all great writers.
Yeah.
And they started in 1950.
Yeah, I'm coming to that.
Oh, did I just steal your thunder?
Yeah, thunder and lightning. Okay. Autosport is a long-established weekly racing magazine from England, now part of the Haymarket Publishing Empire. It is also available in U.S. through various outlets. And I believe, I'm not sure, but I think they're distributed in U.S. is this outfit called EWA Cars out of New Jersey. So if anybody wants to subscribe. And in California, it's available at Vine Country Motorsports at Sears Point Infineon Raceway.
It's a bit of a drive for me to get a magazine, Nasser.
Yeah, but if you want to call and they can ship one for you. And, you know, I do that if there's a special issue that I need to get or if there's a certain interview with some people. But it's a very, very good magazine, I must say. Their annual award ceremony took place a few days ago, and among the winners were, may I have the envelope, please? Ron Dennis, we know this name, the man behind Rondale Project 4, and what we know today as Vodafone McLaren, was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award and presented with Gregor Grand Trophy, which is named after the founder of Autosport magazine. And it's interesting to say that F1 Racing magazine editor Matt Bishop is now the communications director at McLaren.
Yeah, but we really don't hear that much from Matt Bishop at McLaren.
It could be because I've also noticed that I thought they'll make a big deal out of it because he's such a big name. But it could be the way the McLaren Corporation is structured, you know. When a press release goes out, it goes out in a certain way. But I'm sure he's there because if he moves, he is too big of a news in motorsports world not to be.
But I thought he made more of an impact on the motorsports world when he was at F1 Racing.
Yeah, I enjoyed his reading.
Absolutely.
Writing very much. And, you know, I did an interview with him some years ago. And his knowledge, and that's something that when you talk to a British motorsports person, especially from the media, when they talk, I just shut up and listen. I mean, I just would ask him a question, and he was like he said to me about, this is something I'll never forget. He said about Eddie Irvine that I'd asked him who are the good guys, who are the buttheads, so. Butthead, he said, is and always will be Eddie Irvine. But he said if he had won the world championship, he would have become the first world champion to become world champion without ever winning a pole position. And to know all these facts right away, I said, like, wow, very impressive. Okay, next was Jenson Button. Our Jens won the International Racing Driver of the Year award. Do you agree with that, Mr. Open Mind? Just your opinion.
Who were the other nominees?
No, just give me a yes.
Sure, why not? You know, he's basically been racing in Formula One for umpteen years and has finally reached the pinnacle of champion. Throw him a bone.
Okay. Mr. Rogers.
Well, I don't really agree with it. I mean, it's only because he's world champion.
Which is no mean feat.
No, I agree. But the second half of the season didn't look very good. It didn't look...
So who should
like
be driver of the
International Racing Driver of the Year?
Well, okay, International Racing Driver of the Year should be Sebastian Loeb for winning his fifth consecutive title.
Thank you very much.
What about Nando?
Nando, he could have been runner-up at least. But no, I think the problem is that, you know, if you look at the first six races, he was International Racer of the Year. And the car, of course, was Car of the Year. But the second half of the season, it was back to the Jensen that we all know and love.
Yeah. Button himself was trifle polite and said, and I quote, "I have been with the people at Braun for 7 years. The engineers are at my table, and this award goes to them because awards don't normally go to engineers," end of quote. Oh dear, I can see a tear in his and Ross Braun's eyes. Not so sure about Nick Fry. I think he's still kind of, his French is fried, you know, he's pissed off that
absolutely.
Button left him. And, okay, how about this one? Racing car of the year was Braun BGP001. You can't dispute that.
I don't know.
Unless you want to say NASCAR car of tomorrow.
Citroën C4.
No, the Citroën C4 wins the rally car of the year. But I thought the Red Bull should have been a contender. Because the Red Bull, even though the Mercedes, I thought, had more power than the Renault, the Red Bull gave it an unbelievable... It gave us a great show throughout the season.
If Sebastian Vettel had not crashed in Monaco
Australia,
and that's due to his experience.
And guess what car would have won if he hadn't crashed?
He would be rattling in Button's cage very badly.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And the other thing about the Red Bull is it came out of the gate without the double diffuser and was competitive.
Correct.
With the Braun.
And they caught up. Very impressive engineering. But no, I'm glad for Braun. I mean, I'm so happy for them.
So don't expect your complimentary copy of Autosport. I had done a nice setup. Steve may still get it. Yours is cancer. I can
understood.
See that. Okay, International Rally. More issues here. International Rally Driver of the Year award was presented by Ari Vatanen to his fellow Finn Mikko Hirvonen. What say you?
Well, I thought it's a nice award, and I think Mikko Hirvonen did a great job, but he didn't win the championship.
But Benson Button did. See how it goes?
But I understand how it goes, I'm glad for Mikko Hirvonen has shown a lot of progress. His driving is, he had a great year, and Ford had a great year.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm happy for him.
Yeah. Okay, coming up to 1950, Signor Luca Cordero di Montezemolo paid tribute to Autosport magazine through a video speech. He noted both Autosport magazine and Formula One racing started in the same year, 1950. Ferrari was honored for 80 years of racing involvement, which dates back to the days of Novellari racing Alfa Romeo under the Scuderia Ferrari banner. And Mr. Rogers, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The photo of these two men, the driver in the car, and Ingegnere Ferrari standing by his side, 1930s, black and white. That is an instant freeze frame for me. And you know what I'm talking about. Frisson, mega frisson.
But see, that's the problem. That's why Ferrari has the upper hand.
You know, I mean, you look
in history, they will always continue. They'll get the 85-year award, the 90-year award. It'll go on forever.
Because they've got a 30-year head start.
Exactly.
No, you know, you look at it. I mean, I have a picture which I saved on my desktop recently. There's a big, large-size black-and-white picture of a couple of Ferrari and Italian guys standing there from 1930s Monza. And, you know, like it says, Vodafone McLaren these days or Virgin Manor. On the top it says Scuderia Ferrari. And this is like 1990s. There's Alfa Romeo Park there. That is very, very impressive.
Well, you know what's
very
so good?
Powerful.
What's really impressive is when you see a beautiful brand new Ferrari, mm-hmm. you still look at it and it's still very impressive. It's a very impressive car. And today, I saw a beautiful brand new red Ferrari. It was very impressive. I don't recall what model it was, but it was glorious. And the thing that caught my eye was the woman that was driving it was at least 75 years old. Now that was impressive.
A vintage driving a vintage?
Yeah. No, it was great.
And it was a stick shift?
I certainly hope so.
Wow.
Macho. That's the kind of old woman I want to
grow. That's a Bahama mama.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was going, wow, what a woman.
No, it's just... also, you know, Miss Danica Patrick has been confirmed will be doing a few races in Nationwide Series with...
What series is this, Nationwide
Series? Nations, which
is that an insurance company?
Yeah, it is an insurance company. And it's the Busch Series.
Not Champion World? She's not going to do Camping World?
The Truck Series?
It's the Busch Series. It's the Nation... I mean, it's all these very conservative names. We've heard these names before.
Yeah.
Is this start in Texas, I presume?
Yeah. So anyway, so she's going to be doing some, she has signed with Andretti Autosports full season of IRL, and then she's going to do some races in
for
Nationwide, which is the second tier of NASCAR.
But which
NASCAR
team?
But, she's a legend, so she's going with another legend, Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Racing. Of course. So we're JR talking Motorsports. The pinnacle.
Oh, yeah.
Of motorsports.
The pinnacle of the driver and the team owner combined are the most popular drivers in this country, and both have won a grand total of one race each in the last, 3 years.
Well, I know one thing. She will not be successful in Nationwide.
No, I totally disagree with you.
I'm curious to see how well she does.
The problem is those cars are heavy.
She has...
They float around everywhere. No, it's a completely different kind of car.
I think she will win more races in NASCAR than in IRL.
Well, I think she better do those exercises.
What are those exercises?
Yeah, that exactly.
I get the idea. I get the... No, because they have a lot of these, phantom cautions and phantom debris. So you can get those. My question has always been, the lucky dog, what if she's the first lap car?
The lucky meow meow.
Yeah, they cannot be calling, you know.
Call her the lucky dog.
Yeah, that's not really. It's called a lucky meow meow.
So maybe
they should have a life-size cardboard drawing of... what's her name? Nicole Scherzinger. So every time, it's the lucky dog time, just show her,
Something like that.
And her number will be the same.
Oh, really?
Seven, yeah.
Number seven.
And you know what's going to happen? GoDaddy will also sponsor in Nationwide. So 25 years down the road, when she's moving into NASCAR main series, she can be sponsored by GoGranddaddy.com.
Well, since we're affiliated, with GoDaddy,
we are,
of course.
How so? Our web hosting is provided by GoDaddy.com.
Exactly.
Wow, have they ever sent us a check for sponsorship?
No, we send them the check.
Oh. This river has always been flowing the other way.
Exactly, but that'll change one day, Nasser.
Yeah, sure.
Trust me.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I hear you're going to Canada for sure.
For sure,
the Canadian Grand Prix
tonight.
Oh, really?
Still looking for a hotel room, and I will be setting up an F1 weekly meeting, similar to the one we had at Steve's favorite bar at Indianapolis. What was it called? The bench warmer?
Yeah, maybe something like that.
So, no, we'll, once I get everything set up, we'll have a F1 Weekly meet. It's going to be Friday evening in Montreal. And, of course, the Labatt's beer will be on Nasser.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good. You're buying.
And how many days will you be there?
I'll be landing Thursday evening and leaving Monday morning.
How about you, Mr. Open Wine?
No plans as yet.
Okay.
Sometimes I can't travel with the co-host all the time.
Yeah. And is Ms. Desiree going?
No. We have rules and regulations.
Okay. She has been to Montreal, right?
She has. She went there a few years ago with another F1 Weekly listener that she escaped to Tahiti with or something.
Oh, really? Good for her.
Yes. I've never heard from them again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to go, and...
you'll be there, Nasser.
That's the plan.
It's the familia.
Yeah, and that's the plan, and I'm really looking forward to it, because I really need the sound of Formula 1.
Me too.
At least twice a year, but once a year I can live with it.
Well, I'm thinking of going to Silverstone, too.
Oh, really?
Just for fun.
When, next year?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I don't have a really good job now, so I can quit and do whatever I want.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, F1 Weekly's... just going to take me down that beautiful long road of happiness.
Better hurry and get your ticket. From what I understand, there's been more interest than ever.
Exactly. Front page of F1 Weekly. I had to post it.
No, I saw that. You know, that tremendous surge in tickets.
Yes, I think it's exciting.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, okay, here is this track, 50-year-old, that Bernie doesn't like. There is a tremendous interest, not just in Britain, all over the world, to keep the race there. And then you have these fancy schmancy 50,000 grandstands in a billion-dollar complex. They can't even fill those.
They can't pay the loans to pay for the place.
Yeah, and you know, it's
ridiculous. And we don't even have a Grand Prix in France.
Yeah, which is another, which has now become the victim of the fingers are being pointed. It's political, they're saying.
I know, it's always political. But the Jean-Claude will fight.
You know, I don't know why. They're doing another, like, an 8-hour race at Paul Ricard. It's a beautiful part of the country. It's south of France.
It's a perfect track.
Very nice weather. Such very nice history there. And I love that Mistral straight, even though you have to use the chicane now. And they just do the race there, you know, stop being moaning, you know.
I agree.
And Bernie would get a whole chunk of the change because he owns the track, used to.
And, you know, I was watching a race, I think, on some old video. It was not a Formula One race, some race at Manicos recently, last couple of years. I mean, it's a pretty nice facility.
It is a pretty nice facility.
And big deal if it's nowhere in, you know. I mean, it's like Abu Dhabi is like next to Switzerland. Hello. You know?
It's ridiculous. So. You know what? I've had it up to here. Anyway, thank you for another outstanding...
Thank you, sir.
Motorsports Mondial and a little commentary afterwards.
Yes, and my thanks to all the people who ordered calendars. Any orders received as of today, which is December 9th, they have all been shipped out. And we look forward to more.
Exactly. Keep up the good work to you and your entire staff.
Yes, which is right here. Thank you.
We'll be back with the wrap-up in 60 seconds.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Holiday Inn Select Indianapolis Airport. This Holiday Inn Select is a full-service, atrium-style hotel and conference center. While a guest there, make use of the free, high-speed internet access, indoor pool, and fitness center. Or enjoy the good life at the Chanteclair restaurant with its award-winning French cuisine and strolling violinist. Or race over to the spot of F1 Weekly's Listener Appreciation Friday social event, Benchwarmer Sports Bar. Catch all the race action on multiple TVs while enjoying the food and daily drink specials. The hotel is located directly across from the Indianapolis International Airport and provides free 24-hour shuttle service and guest parking. It's close to downtown and to the site of the 2007 Formula One United States Grand Prix, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which makes this hotel an ideal choice for business, pleasure, and for the listeners of this podcast. Call for your reservation today to 1-317-244-6861 or 1-888-HOLIDAY or book online through www.hiselect.com. You know you want to.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And we have no form updates. It's we're going into the holiday season and people are writing Christmas cards instead. Exactly, that was my point. But we do have to
cut them some slack.
Exactly, so there you have it. Real quickly, I want to mention that one of our listeners, and we support him, Troy Castaneda, is in Egypt competing in the Olympics of karting, the Rotax World Finals this week. Troy is writing a blog to keep everyone updated. You can go to ecartingnews.com/viewtopic.php or just go to ecartingnews.com and do a search for Troy Castaneda.
I think we should put this on the forum also so people can...
Yeah, and I might even put it on the front page so you could just click and check this out. This is very exciting stuff. He's representing the U.S. of A. in the World Finals in Egypt.
Yeah, and Troy is a good racing talent. You know, we interviewed him some years ago before he went to race in Italy with Formula Master. So I wish him all the best.
Absolutely. This is great stuff. And I'll put these links on the front page probably by tomorrow morning so everybody can take a look and respond to Troy's blog. Also, get your calendars while we have them, because
when you order and we run out, we always hate to send that email out saying, bummer, you missed it. So get your calendars now and make mom.
Get them now. Order now to ensure you have them for the holiday.
Absolutely. Well, keep up the good work. You mean for Santa?
For Santa.
Keep up the good work, Stephen. Always
Santa,
thinking.
Santa drives a red car, so what a perfect gift.
Thank you, Stephen, for that. And I'm sure Luca will send you a little present. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Meriden Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. Simply go to marinekarting.com. We want to mention our Facebook and Twitter sites. I know Steve is tweeting all the time. You know, some people even tweet from their wedding. It's just ridiculous. So don't forget to tweet
probably,
us.
He probably knows someone that will tweet from his wedding.
Well, what's really funny is today I got a tweet from Texas RV, who's following F1 Weekly. And, I mean, I feel honored when Texas RV, and that stands for recreational vehicle.
No, we have quite a few listeners in Texas. Actually, we have, ever since I did the calendar, we've shipped out quite a few calendars to Texas.
Texas is pretty big, they say.
Yeah.
And I heard, don't mess with Texas.
Yep.
There you go. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@F1Weekly.com. There you have it, Nasser. I'm sure everybody's getting into the holiday feeling. Ding, ding-a-ling, ling-ling-a-ling. So there you have it, Nass. That's my holiday thing. I want to thank everybody who's ordered a calendar. And I want to thank everybody who listens. Any last commentaries?
No, it's like, I think you mentioned that even Speed TV is now showing. Actually, I would like to take this moment to thank Mr. Larry Carter, our man in Chicago. He sent me an email some weeks ago that Speed TV will be showing German touring cars and British touring cars, which I taped, and the first race was from Hockenheim, which was very interesting. So it's at least we have, you know, British touring.
Some culture?
Yeah, some road racing, basically.
No, that's good. I thought you were going to say that he found the four-legged Rubinho, who's missing in action.
Oh, again?
We can't find him.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know. I'm hoping Rubinho bought Rubinho. And they're living, you know, happily ever after in Brazil.
Wow.
That's going to be a children's book I'm writing right now.
Yeah.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Good
night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.